When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing, is that after the Rams blew that lead to the Niners, blew it several times.
Which ones? Out of the six wins, which lead?
Talking about the most recent loss, the one that means the most. I forget the other five. I'm sure they I don't question that they happen, but they don't stick in my mind the way this one does. So what does Jorge do?
Wear a poncho.
He put on his 49ers poncho.
Yes.
Took a picture of himself and texted it to me. Now, I don't. Are you a rub salt in the wound kind of person, Momo? Like, if you know someone's a big fan of something and they lose, do you rub salt in the wound, or do you send like a sorry it didn't work out?
I usually send a sorry it didn't work out, but it depends on how obnoxious the person is. So, like, if the Rams were to, let's just say, NFC Championship, Rams, Niners.
Yes.
And the Rams beat the Niners. Yeah. You're going to tell me that you're not going to rub it in? You're
not
going to text Jorge a Who's House, Rams House?
So here's the way I viewed that last, and I hated the way that game ended. But it was a phenomenal foot. I mean, just as a football game, that was a great football game.
Yeah, it's a good game.
At the end of it, they announced that Arizona lost and we won the division. So that actually made me feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I actually talked to Niners fans on my way out and said, congratulations, guys. Now, Jorge, would you say that if the Rams won?
Yeah. I'll text you congrats.
You will?
Yeah. Why not? If I rub it on your face, I'm going to tell you congrats the same way.
Because normally not stepdad Leo, my mom's boyfriend, he's a Niners fan. He'll say, and he's rooting for the Rams this week, which I am just, you know, he says, if the Niners can't win, I hope the Rams do. So he's a guy that will send me a text in the middle of a Rams game and say, what's wrong with your Rams? It's like, well, screw you. Game's not over. Stop trying to give me grief.
Yeah, I got you. There it is.
Stop trying to give me stuff. But now he's rooting for the Rams, so I feel better about that. Now,
how does he root for the Rams, though?
What's that?
How does he root for the Rams, though? Like, you can't do, if you're a Niner fan, you can't root for the Rams. Like, I'm a UCLA fan. I can't root for USC.
But he knows it will make his not stepson happy.
Oh, who cares? That's not real fandom. Don't do it, Leo. Just stick with it.
He cares about his not stepson.
Well, good. Not on his sports team, though.
Yeah, I am grateful to him. I appreciate that. So, good. Mike Silver, who, you know, does he have any credentials? Does Mike Silver?
Yes.
Do people?
Mike Silver's awesome. I know you don't like him because he put the Rams lower now.
Is he new to the business or?
No, he's been in the business forever, and he's a really good writer who has.
Don't
a ton
even
of
recall his name. Never heard his name before.
You've
I got
definitely
this text
heard his
yesterday.
Name before.
Okay.
You've definitely read things he's written. He gets really good exclusive interviews with people. He went to Palisades High School and Cal with Steve Kerr or something. Like, they're buddies from way back. I don't know.
Okay.
He's got a long track record.
Okay. So he put out a list, and he must have like an Adobe thing or something to be able to make this fancy tweet. I just retweeted it. And here is the order he has the current NFL playoff teams. Green Bay. Yeah, I can see that. Tampa. Too high. Chiefs. Too low. Titans. Too high. Bills. About right. 49ers, too high. Rams, too low. Bengals, probably too low also. So how would you rank that? Those are the eight teams. And it's out on Twitter, at Venice Mace. I sent out this Mike Silver person's, retweeted it along with a quote. How do you rank them?
Yeah.
Momo, open your ESPN.com.
Yeah, I got it.
You got it open? So how do you rank these teams?
I would say Packers. Then I would say Chiefs.
Yeah.
Then I would probably say Packers, Chiefs, Titans. You got to give them some respect. They're the number one seed. And then I would say Rams.
You'd have the Rams at number four.
Yeah, so I said Packers, Chiefs, Titans, Rams, four. But it's kind of hard to put the Rams over the 49ers when they beat them twice.
Isn't it kind of hard to put the Buccaneers over the Rams since the Buccaneers beat the Rams pretty handily earlier this year?
But they also have Tom Brady, and they're defending champs. So I get where he's coming from on that. The Bills looked really impressive in their first game, although I would not put the Rams – I would not put them over the Rams because I think –
Chiefs are going to smack the Bills.
Yeah, I think Chiefs are going to win that one.
Chiefs are going to smack the Bills. Tennessee, Cincinnati. You know, I actually kind of like Cincinnati in that game.
I did too, but, you know, you got to give them some respect. They're the number one seed.
What's weird is I like all four road teams. I know they all won't win, but I like all four road teams. I like the Bengals. I like the Rams. I like the Niners. The Bills is the one. I think the Chiefs are going to smack the Bills. But I think he's got the Rams too low. Rams at number seven, I think, is way, way too low. For
they should be four or five, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Rams are a credible five. Jorge, where do you think the Niners are, 1 to 8?
1 to 8? I would put them at number four.
Come on.
What?
Come on.
I'm telling you, number four.
11-7. They got the fewest wins of anybody in the playoffs.
I'll still put them at number four. You know, not two up there. Just number four is fine for me.
Bergman, who do you have there? Where do you have the Rams?
I got the Rams. Let's see, either four or five. Probably five. I think I have them at five. Packers, Bucks. I actually think the Bills are going to beat the Chiefs, but I don't think they're better. I do think the Bills will beat the Chiefs. I don't think it's going to be that close. So I guess I got to go Bills there. Titans, I got low. Bengals and Titans, low. 49ers probably right above the Rams. What is number one seed? That doesn't mean anything. Yeah,
I mean, if we're just judging best teams, number one seed doesn't mean anything.
No, yeah, it has nothing. I mean, the seeding isn't the matter here. It's the power rankings. So, I think the probably.
Hey, Bergman, I'll bet you $10,000 mythical dollars. I'll take the Chiefs. You take the Bills straight up. You think the Bills?
I already have the Bills and $15,000 on them.
Bills.
You want to do a secondary bet?
Something. Yeah. Just
you want to just take $15? Yeah. $15,000 because I already have it on the Bills -2.5.
I take the Chiefs. You take the Bills straight up.
Okay. Oh, straight up. Okay. That's even better. Up. Yeah. Let's do it. I'm in.
Okay. Let's do it. How much?
Yeah. Oh, is this an extra? Is this an extra 10? Or are we going? I'll keep the 15 that I already got.
Yeah. No. This is an extra 10.
Okay, yeah, extra 10, I'm done. I'm writing it in right now.
I cannot believe I walked away with that bet, Momo. Can you believe I walked away with that bet? I got the Chiefs, he's got the Bills straight up.
Straight up.
No, I think they're going to win. Doesn't mean anything. 2.5?
Games in Arrowhead.
Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, I know he had a big game in the last game, but he is not the same dude. Bills, Chiefs. Got it.
All right.
Done. It's in. The tickets are made.
The tickets are made. We've left the window. It's a done deal. All right. So I wanted to give everybody a Tampa Rams game injury report because it's significant because the Buccaneers are missing two really important offensive linemen, both Tristan Wirfs and Josh Wells. So here is the injury situation for this game. Let's see. Shaq Barrett is fine. Giovanni Bernard is fine. Sean Murphy Bunting, who's a cornerback, did not participate. Jason Pierre-Paul did not participate. Josh Wells, these two offensive linemen. Josh Wells, limited participation. Tristan Wirfs did not practice. Tristan Wirfs is probably the best right tackle in the game. Now, that's significant.
Yeah.
The Rams were able to sack Tom Brady three times in this first game this year. our defensive line against an injured Tampa offensive line is a significant, significant factor in who wins this game. Meanwhile, for us, if you're a Rams fan, Brandon Powell, who is, you know, he was on his couch in October. Wasn't with anybody. And now he is just a phenomenal kick returner for us. He has limited participation. He's going to play its ribs. Taylor Rapp is still in concussion protocol. Ooh. He already missed one game because of that. And yeah. Andrew Whitworth, this is the wild card. Andrew Whitworth, our left tackle, knee injury, did not participate but has not been ruled out. So that's the injury situation for the Rams-Buccaneers. And I feel really, really good about this. As a Rams fan, I feel really good about this. We could have been socked into Green Bay, like the Niners are. We could have socked into Green Bay, and I think that's a really tough matchup. They already beat us once. We already beat Tampa once. I feel really good about our defensive line, the way our defense played against Arizona. They absolutely suffocated Kyler Murray. And offensively, we were able to run the ball. Now, the question is, can we run the ball on Tampa? Cam Akers has emerged as the guy, I think. Sonny Michel had a nice game at 50-something yards. A lot of it came mm-hmm. on one run. But Cam Akers is back, man. He is back.
I can't believe he's back, but he looked really good.
He looked great. Ooh, I mean, 5 months after Achilles surgery, and he looks great. Can he run against the Tampa defensive line? That's the question. And if he can't, and we could generate no yards on the ground the first time we played them, Matthew Stafford threw 40-plus times. I have a feeling this game is going to ride not on Cam Akers' shoulders. Matthew Stafford isn't going to be able to get away with throwing the ball 17 times. He is going to have to throw the ball 40-plus times, and you are going to have to score points. He was perfect in that first game. 4 touchdowns, 350-plus yards, threw the ball 40-plus times. I think the game will be determined by how Stafford plays.
So I have a different – I feel like the against Arizona,
yep.
the Rams got so much pressure on Kyler Murray that yep. – it really affected everything that Arizona did. They also had great field position every time, right? Like every time the Rams defense started, they had Arizona pinned inside their 20 or inside their 5, right? This is different. You can't really get pressure on Tom Brady. He gets rid of the ball too fast. It's not, you know, I think the idea that he's going to hold the ball as long as Kyler or try to make a play with his feet, it's out the window. So now it becomes about the secondary. That front, can the Rams front get enough pressure on Tom to make him get rid of the ball before any of the receivers who are not great receivers at this point, right? Godwin's out. Antonio Brown's not there anymore. So now it becomes, is it just going to be Brady to Gronk the whole time? Brady to Evans. Like, that's all they got now. They're depleted. So the Rams are depleted in the secondary. The Bucs are depleted in their wide receiver core.
Interesting.
It's kind of an interesting breakdown. I mean, if you're the Rams, you kind of have to take that, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, our secondary played really well in that game
yeah.
against Arizona. David Long Jr. was really
injuries.
Good.
Yeah.
We didn't have Jordan Fuller. Eric Weddle played just a few snaps. He was there
yeah.
for the pick six.
He was on the court for that?
He was on the field
wow.
for it, yeah. Actually, we'll
court.
Find that we'll yep. find that description because he actually talked about it afterwards.
Huh.
Talk about that pick six. Also, I just got a list of things. And Momo, maybe you can come up with something. And
all right.
Bergman and Jorge. I made a list of things that just piss me off.
Ooh, I like that.
Stuff that really pisses me off.
What are you going to call that list?
Totally random stuff. I make a list every time something pisses me off.
Okay.
And so I've saved up some, and I'm just going to tell you what they are coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's going on? We'll circle back to the Lakers in a little while. It's no good news. It's no good news. They're off on the Grammy trip. It's Orlando tomorrow, and then it gets tougher. You got Brooklyn coming up. You got Philly coming up. Boy, Joel Embiid, huh?
Is that the MVP?
He's right there. As long as he stays healthy, he's right there.
It's interesting because he missed time with COVID and he had a little knee injury. But ever since he's come back, it's like, I mean, this is like Shaq-level dominance.
I mean, I think it's him, Jokic again.
Yep.
Ja's in the conversation.
Yeah. Steph Curry, but they've kind of fallen off a little.
Steph.
Yeah. And it Those was four. Durant, but he got hurt. And then maybe Giannis, I guess. He's always in it.
Yeah. I would say it's Jokic, not in any particular order, because I haven't really thought this through. Jokic, Embiid, Ja, and Steph. The winners from that group.
That sounds right. I mean, let's see how long Kevin Durant misses. Because if he comes back.
6 weeks. And they have 4 to 6 weeks. He's on my fantasy team. He's killing me right now. So, all right. So, things that piss me off. So, I keep a list of things that just piss me off.
Do you, like, take notes?
Is it just mental? I've written them all down. And, in fact, if you look at the prep sheet.
That's great.
I wrote them down. Okay. Number one, aggressive drivers. You know what? Yep. Slow down. You don't have to beep your horn if I don't turn right at the exact moment you want me to turn right. Don't hit the horn on me. It's L.A. It's not New York. Everybody uses their horns in New York. We're not in that much of a hurry. You don't have to, what do they call that, tailgating when somebody's like right on your tailgate? Too much. Aggressive drivers.
I'm agree with that.
What's the hurry?
Yeah.
Bergman, am I right?
Yeah, I can't stand it. Just go a little bit over the speed limit. You can go like 75 on the freeway. You don't got to go like 90. It's just not necessary.
I had somebody pass me. I was driving over to my parents' house today. And I drive on this. It's like a two-lane road, but it's kind of around. It's a little windy. It's around the Chatsworth Reservoir over here. And it's definitely not a road you should be passing anybody on, right? And this, you know, fast drag racer kind of car just totally passed me in like oncoming traffic lane and then blew through the stop sign. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing, man? Like, this is like a nice little country road. As country as it gets in LA, I guess, right? Like, what's happening here?
Slow your roll.
Slow down. You just made
the list.
Yeah, and this, right. You know what the worst part about all that, too, is like in residential areas, those aggressive drivers, they drive like 40, 50 miles an hour. Kids play in this area.
Yeah, I know.
There's no reason for you to be flying down a side street at any point at any time. Go slow.
Take your time. Be careful. Right. All right. Number two, drug commercials. Whoa. Seriously. Yep. I think they're inventing diseases now. These are things that aren't really things, right?
You just made the list.
they're inventing, you know, okay, so it's like if you have quaky legs or if you've got, it's like, and then the disclaimers.
Oh, the disclaimers are the best.
The disclaimers are ridiculous. Like, I would much rather have shaky leg syndrome than all the things that the pills might cause.
Yeah, totally.
Side effects may include imminent death.
And you know what's amazing? The ad is like 15 seconds, and then there's 15 seconds of disclaimers. It's too much. It's too much. Stop inventing new diseases. Okay, here's number three on my list. Kids doing stupid stuff so that they can do it on TikTok or Instagram. Or one of those.
Bing bong.
Like the Instagram challenges or the TikTok challenges. Do you know they had to close down schools all over the country?
Because they were breaking up the bathrooms.
Yes.
What is wrong with people? What is wrong with people? Am I right? Who's with me?
You just made the list.
You're absolutely right. And I actually take away TikTok from my daughter because it was just getting too crazy.
Is that right?
Too much. Yeah, she's lost it. unfortunately.
Well, what about the one where they lick the ice cream in the freezer and then they put it back?
Oh, that's gross.
Oh, yeah, that's
wrong
great.
With people.
Yeah, come on.
Good kids.
Oh,
good
look
kids.
At me. I just ruined someone else's life. Good job.
Bing bong.
Bing yeah. bong.
People that don't say thank you when you hold the door for them.
Yes.
If I'm holding the door, you say thanks.
That's
just thanks. That's all. That's all I need.
I don't even need a look.
Don't ignore me. I just held the door for you.
In the same category are people who do not give you an acknowledge wave when you let them in to a lane of traffic.
No question. You give them a little wave.
Yes, a little thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate that.
Oh yeah, that's another one. Like with the zipper, you know how it's a zipper when you're merging. Like,
oh god, yeah, it's a zipper. You go, then you go. It's a zipper. It works
then
like a zipper.
Why are you trying to get in front of me? There's no reason for it. You're gonna go not much faster.
Oh, Greg, stop, man. You know you're guilty of this, man.
Oh, no.
You went to the last minute, man.
That's different.
Like that part, I understand. The part that I don't like are the people who will take a stand and not let you in. Okay.
Correct.
Yes, those people. Okay,
like it's like one. Oh, that one. My yeah. one car is going to keep you from getting yeah. where you need to get on time.
Yeah,
just be
like
generous.
I get on the freeway when we go. We do the show downtown in the studio. We get on the 110, and I have to merge like four lanes of traffic because you get on there at 9th Street or whatever it is, and you get on, and I have to merge like three or four lanes. And I'm sorry, I have to get over. It's not like I waited. And they'll always, inevitably, there's one person who's like, you're not getting in front of me,
exactly.
lady.
Exactly.
And turn on your signals, please. Turn on your signal. You're going to merge. Please, turn on your signal.
Okay, here's one. Oh. This one's particular to me, I think.
This is a good segment, Mace.
At my mom and not stepdad Leo's house, they always have the subtitles on the TV.
You just made the list.
No, I like
absolutely
that.
Not. No. Don't ever put
it's like they have an episode of Modern Family. There are subtitles. It's like we're not watching Cinema Paradiso here.
Mace, we do that too at our house.
I do that.
Do
at my
you
house.
Do it at your house?
Oh, yeah. It hurts my soul. I can't stand it. I get so upset. Anytime it's on, I'm like, no, I got to turn this off. I refuse.
Okay, if it's
I
a movie,
turn it off a lot. But I forget what it was that we started. I think it was maybe Game of Thrones because there's certain people who are hard to understand.
That actually helped.
Yeah, it helped. There was like certain shows, and then we just kind of got used to it. Now we're like those people.
But I mean, this is for everything.
I know that is annoying.
The subtitles are constantly on.
You have to turn them on and off, and that's kind of hard because you forget how to do it, and then you just.
It's like, oh my god, you need subtitles to watch Young Sheldon.
You should be glad they have such good eyesight that they can still read.
All right, and the last one. When I unsubscribe from something, I immediately get an email from those people saying that I'm unsubscribed.
Like, you just made the list.
I unsubscribed. That means I don't want to hear from you anymore. Don't email me back and say I'm unsubscribed. You've already broken the rule.
Oh, see,
they
I
ask
like
you for
that.
Reasons. They ask you for reasons. Why? Are we emailing too much?
Yeah, why am I doing it? It's because I don't want your crap anymore.
Yeah.
No, see, I actually like that because if they don't send me the email, I don't know that I'm actually unsubscribed. Like, even if I hit the button and do the whole thing, you still get stuff sometimes. So if it tells me you've been unsubscribed, I'm like, great, it's done. I never have
to see they've already broken the rule. I unsubscribe, they immediately send me an email.
Courtesy.
Just put in your spam.
Not stepdad Leo. Just texted me about the subtitles. He says, wait until you're 80 plus.
A little bit different at that point, huh?
Yeah. All right, coming up next, we'll circle back to the – anyway, that it was just venting.
We got to get a name for that segment.
Well, I have to save those things up as they go along so that I have them. They're on the sheet and I keep adding to them.
Well, it's like Arya Stark. Like you have, like she's got her list.
Oh, my list. That's my list.
Here's the name exactly. of it.
You just made the list.
Yes. Once a month. You do this once a month, Mace. You just let it all out.
And now the you list.
You know what? No, you know what? We call it that time of the month.
Ooh,
is that appropriate?
I'm not touching that one.
I don't know if that's appropriate.
I'm a girl.
All right, coming up next for you, let's get back to the disaster at I almost said Staples Center, Crypto.com
you
Arena
can say
last
Staples
night.
Center, people know what you mean.
Were you there for the magic? Did you engage in the spectacular finish? Caris LeVert just doing whatever he wanted. Disappointing night for the – it's constantly. It's, is this the turning point? This is rock bottom. Is this the turning point? This is rock bottom. Maybe we're just not very good. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
15 years ago today, Breaking Bad premiered, which I think is that the best show ever? The best show ever?
I don't know. I mean, there's a few that would I put in the same. Sopranos was great.
Sopranos is unbelievable.
The Wire, that's up there. Game of
The
Thrones.
Wire's fantastic. Game of Thrones, right up there.
Okay, but serious question. Did you catch Breaking Bad the day it came out, like that first day?
Well, because Brian's a friend of mine,
right.
Yes. But I do remember Brian saying to me, so I said, so what are you working on? He said, well, it's this TV show, and I play a school teacher, and, you know, he has cancer, and he starts dealing drugs. And I was like, I don't know, man. like in the pitch room, yeah. It must have been weird. All right, so what we got is a school teacher and he's got cancer. That's where we start. And then he starts making meth and dealing it. Who signs up for that show? Like, what? Good for AMC and Vince Gilligan and all those guys, but that must have been a tough pitch to sell.
But I mean, it turned out to be great.
It's amazing because, like, I think that's why I didn't watch it for a long time because I remember. Couple people told me about the show and I was like, wait, it's about this like guy who sells meth, like like it didn't interest me, and then everybody really started liking it, but I was like, I think I was working too much and I didn't have time to catch up. I was like a couple seasons behind, so finally during the first part of quarantine, Nevin and I just binged all 5 seasons. It was great.
Well, it's that phenomenon. I mean, I've heard Vince Gilligan talk about this and Peter Gould, who's actually on my podcast. It's like Netflix. Once the show hit Netflix, everybody raced through it.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So it was really made by – it succeeded because of Netflix. Because at some point, the early – if you just watched it from day one, you would have been like, fantastic, but do I want to watch episodes? Do I want to watch episode three? Like, it was – but what happened is there were a bunch of late adopters who were like, oh, everybody's talking about this.
Yep.
This is great. I'm going to catch up.
I'm going to catch up, yeah.
Bergman, it's like you were with Succession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to completely catch up. It was the same thing with Breaking Bad. I didn't watch it until almost, I think, the last episode was about to come out, or the last season was about to come out, and I had to catch up to it because it was like, oh, my God, this is incredible. But, yeah, Succession, it took me forever to get into. Game of Thrones took me way after even John. To
Ireland, I dragged kicking and screaming into Game of Thrones. You know what I'm doing? I'm catching up on Yellowstone. That's what I'm doing now with Yellowstone.
Oh, it's okay. Are you into it?
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay.
Have you made it past 45 minutes yet?
Yeah, no, I finished. I'm a couple episodes in. Beth, man, she is bad. She's like the Shiv of Yellowstone. So, all right, so we're avoiding the elephant in the room. Lakers last night. So Monday, we're like, oh, this is the turning. They finally figured out all that defense. All this is. And then last night, lose to Indiana. Lowly Indiana, a team that had lost 10 of 11 and had only won, I think Billy Mack said, only four home games all year long. Four road games all year long. And they beat us. And at one level, I looked at the game and thought, okay, right when it ended, I'm like, what went wrong? And the two thoughts that came into my head were this. Where was Stanley Johnson in the last 5 minutes of that game? Because he's been so good for him. And why can't you stop the one guy who's doing all the scoring? Like, you should be able to, as a defense, throw everything at Caris LeVert and make somebody else beat you because he was making everything. Mm-hmm. And, of course, then the big headline is Russell Westbrook taken off the floor with about 4 minutes left in that game, and that's turned into a gigantic talking point today. Momo, what was your takeaway from the game?
Westbrook benched.
Yeah.
I mean, he went from having one of his best games as a Laker with the dunk over Gobert, right? And the post game, he was having fun with it. You know, he's mopping up the floor, right? In that Jazz game, to like having one of his worst and then getting benched. And that was a big move, man. I guess maybe I've just been around the league to where I know how much coaches debate doing something like that and how much it finally takes to get them to pull the, you know, to pull the lever,
right?
Bench him in the fourth quarter. But like, I've only seen a few. Like, Kemba Walker got benched in New York. I thought that was a mistake for them because they didn't just say, okay, you're benched when you're not playing well. They just said, we're not playing you. Stay
home. Right.
Like, that was right. And then they needed him because everybody got COVID and he came back and he was good for a while. I mean, that was weird, but Kemba's not in the same class as Russ.
No.
You know, and then you got, I guess I've seen Marc Gasol get benched in Memphis. That was a big thing. Who else? I mean, when have you ever seen but Marc Gasol's not Russ in terms of his.
Not at all. Melo went through a transition.
Bench?
He was out of the game for a while and then came back, understood his role with Portland. Now he's here. He went through a transition. Russell Westbrook is not going to go through that transition.
I mean, I'm talking about Melo in Oklahoma City when there was that press conference when somebody said, how do you feel about coming off the bench? And he was like, me? Come off the bench? Remember that?
When
it first started to change. And then the next year he was in Houston for a hot minute and they just said, go home. We don't, you know, this is not working out. I mean, this thing with Westbrook, this is in a very dicey spot right now. Because when you make a move like that, you don't know how that guy's going to react. It's not like they told him before the game, hey, we might do this. Sometimes you prepare a guy. If you do this, we're going to pull you. This was just, Frank just did it. He ripped the Band-Aid off and then Russ left the game with about 10 seconds left to go, left the arena without talking to reporters, didn't really see his teammates after the game either. Supposedly he wasn't even in there when the team came in. And they're on a plane right now to Orlando, so he did show up for the flight. I know that.
Okay, so
we'll
see
what he does next.
I don't know Russ. You know Russ and have talked to Russ.
Yeah.
How do you think he reacts?
I think he is... Well, last night, I think he was incredibly angry. And I'm not putting those words in his mouth. This is just me saying what I think he is, okay? But he is all... He has so much swagger and ego and pride, and he just got his legs cut off. I mean, that is humiliating to do to a player of his caliber. And it's rough for a guy who plays as hard as he does, who I know has been frustrated with his role on the team and how he's been used and the changes and sacrifices he's made.
Right.
So I don't know. Is he going to double down on being stubborn? Is he going to take his ball and go home? I don't think he does that. I don't see him being that kind of a guy. He loves basketball too much. Is he going to pout or is he going to change?
Well, is his role changed permanently in some way? I mean, I would imagine he starts games, but he probably doesn't always finish them. And everybody knows the finishing lineup is way more important than the starting lineup.
That's right. And this has been a thing for him over the course of his career. He makes bad turnovers at the end of games. He has suspect judgment.
Had a bad shooting night last night. Has not shot well lately.
Defense has been inconsistent at best.
Let Caris LeVert blow right by him at one point last night.
Several times. Yeah. I mean, it's like when, you know, when he's playing Russ. But the thing about Russ is, like, so much of why he's great is because he has that swagger and
correct, and because he plays so fast, and by
so
playing
hard.
By playing fast, yes, he turns over the ball. His turnovers are part of his game. There, you can't separate them, because when you're playing at his speed, you make mistakes.
Yeah,
and we can't afford mistakes. And I would argue that when he plays slower, he's not as good.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they're trying to figure that out, where if you've noticed, the rotations have changed a little bit. Okay, so usually the first rotation has Russ and LeBron in it. Then there's a rotation where it just has Russ in it. So LeBron comes out, gets a little rest.
Yep.
And then there's a rotation with neither of them in it. And those rotations where it's just Russ have not been good. And those are the ones that I think are killed. If you go back and look, where did the Lakers lose these games? It's, you know, the ones with LeBron and Russ are okay. The ones with the bench are okay. But the ones with Russ and the bench are not good. And that's fundamentally, so this idea like, well, maybe he shouldn't start. Well, I mean, it's not like it's been that great when he plays with the bench unit.
Right, right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. All right, we'll get some calls on that coming up for you at 3 o'clock. Also, don't forget Lie of the Day. It's Lakers Ticket Thursday. We got tickets for Lakers Portland on February 2. And at some point today, I have told or will tell a lie. If you can figure out what that lie is, call in at 3:30 for a chance to win those Lakers tickets on Lakers Ticket Thursday here on 710 ESPN. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Key. I appreciate that. So they were taught playing Take It or Shake It today on Keyshawn, J. Will, and
Take
Max.
It!
And
I,
exactly, except for the
shake
fact
it.
That... Yes, that's what Key did. And I thought this question was kind of interesting. Is Joe Burrow versus Justin Herbert the new Brady versus Manning?
Ooh. Oh.
Key said shake it, by the way, just so we're
shake
aware.
It.
Exactly, just like that.
In my mind, right now, you could make a case that after Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Patrick Mahomes, number 4 and 5 are in some order Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert.
Hmm.
I think it definitely could be. I think it definitely could be the next Brady versus Manning. They're really, really good. Now, you know, there's a lot of it's so early in the game, but I think both of those guys are the real deal. Both of those guys. What do you think, Momo?
I like that you cited that list that you gave or last week to me of, like, who was it, Matt Millen or somebody who had that list, and they said 4 and 5 were Burrow and Herbert.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. However, I don't think rivalries are made by both guys being really good. Rivalries are made by teams that get to the Super Bowl and rip each other's hearts out. Like Brady and Manning, Brady and Peyton were true rivals because they were competing for best quarterback of the year.
True.
And the only way that you could be in that discussion is to make Super Bowls and win Super Bowls. And Brady wins because he won more Super Bowls. And, like, Peyton kind of choked a few times.
It also requires really good coaching around you.
Yeah, it requires being on a really good team. I mean, do you feel like the Bengals and the Chargers are going to Super Bowls pretty soon?
No, I mean, I need – those organizations have got such bad histories.
Yeah.
And historically, such bad ownership that I think they can definitely screw this up. So they need great coaching, great ownership, and great football minds in order to set them up in this scenario. I mean, obviously, Brady and Belichick, he's the guy – you know, it's inextricable what Belichick and Brady were able to do together. So I think it all matters if they have great people around them, great coaching, great ownership, great football intelligence, then yes. But I would not put any money on the Chargers.
Corporate Greg, take it away.
Ooh, I like it when we do it that way. The runtime for the new Batman movie is out. Now, I know you really want to see it.
Oh, the Batman.
The Batman is out, as released with Robert Pattinson. It will be the third longest comic book movie ever, behind Zack Snyder's Justice League and Avengers Endgame. Because the Justice League had 242, which was way too long. It was over 4 hours. Avengers Endgame was about 187, somewhere around there. But this one is going to run 167 for 2 hours and 47 minutes without credits. 2 hours and 47 minutes of Batman just brooding. Does this change your mind on wanting to see the Batman?
Batman just brooding.
That's all he did. I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
The trailers are fantastic. And
you ready for 3 hours of Gotham?
I am. How long was The Dark Knight? You know, it's funny. If Juan is going to see a movie, that's the first thing he looks at, the runtime.
Really?
Like, he thinks a movie should be 90 minutes, no longer than that.
Wow.
And I never look at the length of a movie. Like, I don't care. If it's a great movie, it will sustain whatever amount of time. Like, I had people telling me Licorice Pizza is too long. No, Licorice Pizza was exactly the right length. It's on the long side. I think it's like 2 hours and 40 minutes, but it was fantastic. So, yeah, that does not scare me at all. I'm looking forward to The Batman.
The Batman.
Momo?
You know what? I've been ruined by streaming. So it's like I'm used to these hour-long episodes. And now, like, if you told me I would go, The Batman could be seen in a 6-episode miniseries, I would watch 6 hours. But for some reason, it feels daunting to me for it to be 3 hours, or basically 3 hours. Because, you know, by the time you sit down and get your popcorn and your chips and your, you know, not chips, your popcorn and your soda and your licorice or whatever you're going to get, and then you watch some previews, you're going to be there for three and a half hours. It's a long time to sit there in a movie theater.
Yeah, never have had an issue with the length of a movie. If it's good, I don't care how long it is.
I'm Batman.
This is the Batman.
Take it away.
By the way, licorice pizza, I don't want to screw that up for people. Paul Thomas Anderson, Licorice Pizza, 2 hours and 13 minutes.
That's
and
not I've had too
people
bad.
Tell me it's too long.
That's fine. Anything under 30.
It's an awesome movie.
Yeah. 2.5 hours to me is like, that's when you're starting to push it.
Yeah. All
right.
What's up?
All right, Greg, take it away.
Jorge, what you got?
Oh, thank you, Greg.
Daddy's back. Vote for her.
Yes, I'm back and vote for her. All right, guys, so this is what I got. So for $10 a month, Taco Bell customers can get a taco a day for 30 consecutive days. It's a national program called the Taco Lovers Pass. Are you guys in or out on this Taco Lovers Pass?
What?
I am completely out on this because you know what it is? It's like nobody goes to Taco Bell and buys one taco.
Exactly.
You've got to get the Burrito Supreme. You've got to get the Nachos Bel Grande or Del Grande. You've got to get a whole bunch of other stuff.
The
so,
Chalupa.
No, I think that's just like a loss. They're sucking you in with one taco, knowing you're going to buy everything else.
Yeah.
Do you remember when the movies did this? AMC did this?
Yeah.
Like one of the movie theaters did this? You could like.
AMC still does it.
Oh,
unlimited
they still do
movies for the month.
Oh, nice. See, get a taco, go to a movie. Why not?
Yeah, one taco, not enough. Nobody goes and gets one taco.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Me too. Out. I mean, when I go to Taco Bell, like every once in a while I'll get a taco. But like, yeah, I told you a little while ago, all I wanted was the bean burritos, you know? And like, but I don't just get one bean burrito. Like, who does that? You got to get the cheesy gordita crunch. You got to, you know, they're going to suck you in with the $10 offer and I'm going to end up spending more because I don't want to eat Taco Bell every day for a month. That's too much.
Taco Bell, by the way, the finest stoner food available on the market.
True statement.
Del Taco's all right, too.
Corporate Greg, take it away.
Yeah. All right. So according to Momo's good buddy, Brian Windhorst, Bradley Beal does not plan to sign an extension and would become a free agent this summer. He could always sign the Supermax in return, but as an expiring contract, if someone wants to trade for him, the right team needs to trade for him and try to keep him. Mm. So what do you think, think will happen to Beal at the trade deadline?
Momo?
I think Washington will keep him. I think they'll roll the dice and think that he'll stay because I think he's like a loyal guy, and I think he's a little like Dame Lillard. He doesn't want to be the bad guy and ask for a trade or say, I don't want to stay. I think, and it's hard for a franchise like that to trade somebody. And they're not going to get as much now in the last year of his deal. Like, if they were going to trade him, they had to do it a couple years ago, and they chose not to.
You know, if I was Washington, I would trade him. I would get a package of draft picks and young players along with a stinking expiring contract that I could drop at the end of this year. But I would go the Sam Presti route. I'd find me some draft picks and I would find some young talent that I could build around. I think it's a mistake to hold on to Bradley Beal and hope he stays. Because then you wind up with zero at the end.
I think he'll stay anyway. I think he'll just re-sign with Washington. I think he'll do the whole free agency and then just re-sign after all that.
Well, Corey, you're very slow to the trigger.
Yeah.
Hey, settle down.
You're out of your
delay.
Rusty. Somebody
needs to oil up this machine. Yeah. All right.
Better than the other two, though.
Yeah, true.
I'm joking. Thanks, guys.
Vote for Jorge. So I put this in because I know Momo loves And Just Like That and Sex and the City and all that good stuff.
Yeah,
but did you know that the ages that the four main characters are that they are on that show is the same age as the Golden Girls character when they started their show?
What?
Minus Estelle Getty. They're all in their 50s.
Wow.
Just like the Golden Girls minus Estelle Getty. Pretty crazy, right?
Wow. Okay.
Is it changing? Now, Momo,
are you watching Sex and the City? I would argue that
every week
that you know, you actually, if a guy watches Sex and the City, his testosterone levels drop.
While drinking soy.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, now, is it satisfying your need for four desperate women doing all kinds of stuff?
They're not desperate anymore. They're going through like real midlife crises. It's good. It's a really good show. I like it. It's all about being
like
in
the
your
Golden
50s
Girls,
and you're not cool anymore. No, the Golden Girls were like in an old folks' home, right?
No, they all lived together.
Didn't they all live in that retirement community in Boca?
Yeah, I guess that's fair. They did live in a retirement community. Yeah, Team Kim Cattrall.
The show is definitely not the same without her. And so they definitely missed that dynamic. Although they've kind of added Sarah Ramirez. Do you know Sarah Ramirez? She's a good young actress, younger. I don't know how old she is. She's probably in her 40s. But
attention
she's,
is drifting.
Okay, well, she's the lesbian interest of Miranda, who's having a change of heart.
Okay,
right. Yeah, yep. It's kind of fun. She's like,
give me some Keyshawn or give me some buzzers. All right, good.
Yeah.
That concludes Sex in the City talk for today.
Yeah.
That also concludes Jump Ball for the day. So.
Excellent. All right.
See, the way you feel about my Sex in the City talk is the way I feel when you guys talk about like comic book movies.
I'm Batman.
The difference is our audience watches comic book movies.
I know.
Our audience
I'm like
does not
Justice
watch
League.
Sex
League. Like, what is this? What is that? I don't know.
Coming up next for you, I want to take the temperature of Rams fans.
Huh.
Big game on Sunday. Here's my question. And if you're a Rams fan, you can call in 877-710-ESPN. Here's my question. We have gotten to the same point we were last year. Wild card weekend, we advance to divisional round. If we don't get to the conference championship game, does that make this year a failure, a bust. Does that mean Matthew Stafford was not the right quarterback to move heaven and earth to get? How important is Sunday, and what's your confidence level? 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. By the way, totally appreciate, I'm going to shout this out again. Totally appreciate not stepdad Leo adopting the Rams as his second team. He's a Niners fan, but he's rooting for the Rams because he wants to make his, he wants his not stepson Mason to be happy. So
wow.
Thank you to not stepdad Leo. Lie of the Day is coming up at 3:30. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.